Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Boxing fans, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Monday afternoon. Yes, I know that is strange, but this guy is heading up north to go on vacation. I know what you're saying. If you don't live in the Midwest, especially Minnesota, a lot of people tell me this. Chris, what do you mean you're going up north, dude? You live in Minnesota. Are you going to Canada, Alaska? Where are you going? We're going up north, just a couple hours. Just going up north there. Anyway, I'm about to go on vacation for a chunk of days, get on a lake, and just lay back and chill, okay? So that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm just kind of springing this show on you guys. I didn't call anybody. I didn't tell anybody. I'm just doing it just to give you some content because there is just a little bit of content out there that's worth, you know, putting out. Obviously, this fight coming up with Sergey Kovalev, Yard, I guess it is. There is something there. We will real quickly talk about what happened last week. Not a whole lot. A lot of it has to do with what's going on in the world of boxing. Anthony Joshua and Lennox Lewis. Wow, man. AJ is just catching feelings. And I'll tell you what, some of these comments he's making are really, really, really telling. Joshua and Lennox going head-to-head. Wilder and Ortiz got pushed back. Canelo's date got narrowed in on, and we think it's Canelo Kovalev next. I don't know who we are, but I'm just going to keep saying it like that. Gervonta Davis and Tevin Farmer sparring back and forth over money. Both of them got career high paydays. Both of them turned down. Who will budge? Who's going to budge first in that one? A couple other news and notes to talk about. Timothy Bradley. We talked about Timothy Bradley last week and, how he was really getting after Spence for Duncan Crawford. He's saying he's full on Duncan Crawford. This week he had a couple of different items to say, and we'll go over it. So it's a shortened, sweet type interview, short but sweet. Let's just get right into it. I mean, Navarrete, he beat this Davaca dude. I like Vaca Davaca. There was nothing to it. Knocked him down in the second round with two uppercuts in a row and a beautiful right hand. There was some two-way action. And, you know, in the third round, there was two-way action because they were going back and forth. But obviously, Navarrete was just destroying him with heavy shots. And in that short amount of time, that Davaca dude took a beating. And Jesse Magdanello actually bounced back pretty nicely. He pretty much won most of the rounds. The fourth round was a close one. He was taking on Riviera, the guy who earlier this year in February took on Leo Santa Cruz in a great, an action fight. He took a lot of shots and kept ticking. And I bring that up just because Magdanello was able to get him out of here. But Magdanello came out looking pretty good. He actually stumbled him with a left hook pretty early, but he had his jab going, his left hand. He was pivoting pretty nicely. They called something an accidental headbutt early in the fight. And there was a big deep cut on the bridge of Magdanello's nose. I'm not saying he necessarily broke it, but the fifth round was really competitive. I actually gave the fifth round to Riviera. He started showing some life, no doubt about it. It was kind of back and forth. In the seventh round, 40 seconds left of that seventh round, left hand froze Riviera. Wasn't much after that that the fight was done. And, you know, I said stopped, but I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I was seeing if he could stop him. They were talking about that on the broadcast, but the fight got stopped, actually, because of, an elbow, actually. It wasn't an accidental headbutt. It was an elbow. I forgot there was two of them. But there was a knockdown. I think it was a left hand. There was a knockdown early in the eighth round. But you had elbow, you know, added to an already messed up face. 89-81 for two scorecards, 88-82. Magdanello has his, second win back from taking his first loss. He said he was battling a lot of depression and whatnot. With that first loss, he got a little high on his horse. And speaking of high on his horse, we're going to talk about Anthony Joshua in just a moment. But, you know, not much there. And, you know, I knew, like, the main event, I forgot to mention this, I think, last week. The main event was supposed to be Luis Collazo and Jose Benavidez. And that's a good fight. You know, I think Collazo can definitely give him a good fight, even at the age he's at. But I forgot to mention that was off the card. But as a co-feature, not much here anyway. We talked about how we, you know, I was talking about it as if it was scheduled as a main event, and it wasn't. I wanted to tidy some of that up. I did forget to mention. I don't think I mentioned that Collazo fight. So anyway, funny thing is, though, midweek, I'm writing my weekly prediction article, and I fucking start to write the Collazo and Benavidez, and I catch myself later in the week like, dude, that's not happening. What are you doing? So I guess my mind was on vacation way ahead of time. I had a weird end of the week last week too. So I just wanted to say that because I don't like, you know, coming across talking about a card like it wasn't a good card, because it wasn't. Well, it wasn't a great card anyway, but it would have been a little better. At least that was a somewhat main event worthy fight. I think Benavidez and Collazo. So anyway, that's about it. Not much there. It sounds like they're trying to bring Navarrete back in September on that Tyson Fury card. Who would he be able to face in a month, less than a month's time? Probably no one better than Dabaka. You know what I mean? Maybe less. I don't know. Maybe it's a guy we've at least heard of. I really don't know, but that's what it sounds like. Like I said, a nice build back for Magdanella, though, for sure. Kovalev and Yarde, it's actually Yard. It was Yarde originally. I heard a lot of UK fans saying it, but I think it's just Yard. This is on ESPN Plus, and there's also Showbox, DAZN, PBC on FS1. You know, Showbox has probably got the best card. PBC on FS1 has an interesting fight to an extent anyway, just to see where Brandon Figueroa is at this young age. And there's two fights that have unbeaten fighters going head-to-head on the undercard. So, I mean, there's something there at least. You got to at least take a gander. PBC and FS1 Saturday, Showbox Friday, and DAZN as well. One of my favorite fighters, Estrada, is returning. He's taking on Willie Beeman. If those who get that reference, he's taking on Willie Beeman, dude. Beeman's still fighting after all these years. I wonder if Pacino is still in his corner as a coach. Just kidding. Of course, that's from an Oliver Stone movie. Anyway, Any Given Sunday, if you don't get the reference, not really even worth checking it out. The movie, to an extent. As far as this weekend, Kovalev, Yard, if you just look at him, he looks the part of a big, strapping young buck that's ready to take over. And, you know, if Kovalev had lost his last fight in that rematch fight where he showed a lot of fire still, I thought, like, hey, man, I still got something left. And I went and finally had a good camp. You know, he's always had so many excuses about his camp, either most of it's overtraining, but it's like in back-to-back-to-back camps. If you overtrain, at some point, that's just your fault. But him and Buddy McGirt have seemingly, in a strange way, you know, kind of found each other, and it's worked well. So as long as Kovalev is focused, and, you know, we did get some out of the ring stuff that needs to be sorted out from a flight, you know, a plane that he was kicked off of not long ago. So, you know, was that before camp? I'd hope so. I don't know. I mean, Kovalev is just way more skilled. Yard, like I said, he looks the part. He's freaking ripped and all that, but he doesn't have much of an amateur career. He's faced a couple veterans that you may go, oh, yeah, I know that guy, but nobody to get him ready for this. And I just think Kovalev, you know, that's great that Yard has power. If he catches with something, you know, he can definitely do some damage. Now, you know, that last fight he had, I'm talking about Kovalev, you know, in that comeback fight, that was a big comeback for him, really. He wasn't looking, you know, he got caught. He actually, what was he up, like 4-2 against Alvarez last year? Actually, right around this time. And then they had that rematch in February. He got knocked out. He got caught. So can Yard catch him with a big shot? Obviously, you got to dig to the body and see if he's ready to go there as far as Kovalev. Make sure he's ready to be able to take body shots for a full, you know, 12 rounds, that type of thing. That's what Yard needs to do. But I think Kovalev's skill, he did show me a different mentality, a different demeanor in the ring. It, like I said, the matching, I believe the match, you know, with his new trainer, I think that's helping him to an extent. I do think he proved enough that he had enough still left in the tank. I'm going with Kovalev. Maybe late knockout, but I think he's going to win by decision. I think he'll stick behind that jab. And as long as he doesn't get lost in a brawl too much, I think he can get through this fairly cleanly. Fairly cleanly. I'll say that. I think he wins. I definitely think he wins. That's the only fight I'm really going to break down. Kovalev and Canelo, it does sound like they're lining that up for November 2nd. We'll definitely get into that in just a little bit. So that's about it. Like I said, though, PBC on FS1, DAZN, and Showbox. I got to beat the traffic going up north there. We're going to do some fishing and swimming and skiing and all sorts of stuff up there, up in Minnesota. Northern Minnesota, they're up there in Cross Lake by Brainerd. That's where the Blue Ox, you know, and Paul Bunyan is from. Anyway, just giving you a little up north Minnesota thick-ass accent to chew on there. But, yeah, you know, that's what DVRs are for. DAZN, PBC, FS1, Showbox, yada, yada, yada. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, let's get some of the loose ends out of the way. Then we'll sink our teeth into the Anthony Joshua Lennox Lewis beef, which is fairly one-sided at this point, and it's really AJ catching feelings. Gervonta and Tevin Farmer sparring over career-high paydays. Neither of them took the bait. Will either of them? And then Timothy Bradley will sink our teeth in as well a little bit. Just a really quick little news item. Well, we know, you know, Andy Ruiz sounds like he's going into protest mode, and he's going to get the government backing, the U.S. government backing of a U.S. citizen shouldn't travel to Saudi Arabia. That's what it made it sound like. Because he said the government's going to – I can't talk about it. He said this on a live stream. So that's still in flux, obviously. Unfortunately, Caleb Truax came down with an injury. This fight with Quillen is just jinxed. He had to pull out of that bout. I don't know if Quillen is still going to be on. They're still going to, you know, feed someone to him. Maybe, you know, somebody was already scheduled on the card. I don't know, but that does suck. Hope you get well, and hopefully there is a card that is being lined up in December. It sounds like Jamal James and maybe Sergey Lipinets. I would think Perella would be the other guy that James would fight at the Armory, but they're talking about one in December. I've been talking to some people behind the scenes there, and they talking about it's not announced yet, but there is a December card coming. When I look at it, December 14th is a Fox card scheduled anyway. Doesn't mean it's for sure, but could we actually see Showtime get a decent fight? What would that be all about? Oh, my God. Anyway, I talked about Canelo, you know, and his new date. Sounds like he's trying to line it up. And date-wise, if you look at time-wise, I should say, looking at the November 2nd date, as long as Kovalev doesn't get badly cut or something like that, and he pretty much handles Yard without any major injury, he probably would be ready for November 2nd. It sounds like Canelo is narrowing down November 2nd in Las Vegas, his home away from home, to fight there. Now, it makes sense that Wilder and Ortiz, too, would be pushed back, and the working date is November 23rd. You're not going to go a week after Canelo's fight. It just doesn't make sense, especially if you're going to be in Vegas or on the West Coast. So a lot of people were speculating this and that, and, oh, is the Wilder-Ortiz 2 fight even going to happen, or now Wilder and Fury would never happen? But the whole pushback thing, or they're still negotiating with Showtime and Fox, I really think the whole Wilder-Ortiz pushback was obviously because Canelo's November 2nd date. We did I wanted to say like four things in all one sentence, and none of it came out. I'm really trying to go through this show as fast as I can. I'm sorry, guys. So a couple of weeks ago, whenever Canelo, you know, it was decided that he's not going to be able to fight, obviously, on the Mexican Independence Weekend, mid-September, he needed a new date. And that had to have been a big surprise to the PBC as well. It was a huge surprise to us, but that's why I believe Wilder and Ortiz got pushed back. I realize that Canelo's not on traditional pay-per-view anymore, but if you're going to go in Vegas, you're not going to go a week later. It just doesn't line up. Canelo is a big-ass name, and Kovalev is a big-ass fight, really, if you think about it. He had been marketed on HBO for quite some time and been in some big fights, some names that a casual fan might know, yada, yada, yada. Okay, let's start to dig in a little bit deeper here. Well, real quick, I talked about this last week. Dana White did do an interview with Mannix. He was basically saying, you know, the Zuffa UFC, the fight pass, we're going to build up the fight pass a little bit more. We may buy some fights. It sounds like they may try to maybe overpay some younger fighters. I wouldn't doubt if like a Mikey Garcia type that they signed. But the way Dana White is saying it, now it sounds like he's got a 3 to 5 year plan and he's going to build it up. And maybe this PBC sale didn't go through. I have no clue what is going on there, but he's good at hiding it. Remember, he would swear up and down that the UFC is not for sale, and then all of a sudden we saw a sale come through. Three more items, then I'll get you out of here, guys. I realize there's not a whole lot to talk about in the sport of boxing at this moment besides news. But Joshua and Lennox Lewis. Now, Lennox Lewis has said a couple of things here and there about, you know, AJ. Some of it's been on social media. Some of it has been him getting interviewed and him just answering questions in an interview. And Anthony has to realize some of this. Now, when Anthony talks, Anthony, I should say, like they'd say it over there. What's up, UK fans? Anthony, you know, he's catching feelings, dude. And in the past, Joshua, as we know, has stuck his foot in his mouth. And, hey, I stick my feet in my mouth a lot, especially when I was younger, especially when I was his age, like, and younger than that, obviously. And my teenage years is like, dude, I don't even know if I want to open my mouth right now. I just said that. I didn't mean it. You know, so I understand it. But remember when he said, you know, if they gave me 50, if this is a $100 million fight, that's 60-40, 60-40. All right, just give me 50 mil. And then they offered him 50 mil, and he said, well, that was out of context, but if you listen to what came before that comment on the video out of his own mouth and after that comment out of his own mouth on that video, again, there's no taking anything out of context. He said it. And remember when he tried to explain that his contracts that he has overseas and in different countries, if Showtime gave him $50 million, it'd actually be 25 million because this, that, it's like, dude, stop talking, man. It's actually not. If someone gives you 50 million, it's 50 million. Now, you know, who you owe or taxes or your trainer or, you know, that's different. But, you know, he basically says some stuff where you're like, dude, what are you talking about? And he's back at it again. He really is. And he doesn't understand. To me, he's always been the nice guy, right? He's always, they've always drilled home that he's the nice guy. He's the role model. But you don't know. Like, it's hard to know someone in interviews, especially when they've been force-feeding us this image, right? And he does come across as that type of guy a lot of the times, especially, you know, before maybe the last year or so, right? But ever since he lost and ever since he started getting criticism, God forbid, the most, one of the most popular fighters in the world get some criticism on social media. I mean, just think about that. It's like, dude, everybody gets it. But anyway, you know, he says stuff like, even when they asked him in the ring that night, do you want any, and ever since that, you want the rematch? And he does this little, oh, hell yeah, 100. You know, he's still doing this little extra laugh. It turns out Anthony Joshua is just a corny, cheesy dude. And I'm not saying he's nice. I'm not saying he can't be a role model of a kid. That's fine and dandy. But the guy is hot and bothered right now. And he's using these terms that he's learned, like cut from the same cloth. He says Lennox Lewis is not cut from the same cloth as him. Now, the term cut from the same cloth, as it's used in modern day, like the last 10 or 20 years, whatever the hell you want, maybe longer than that, it's really, you're challenging the other person. Like, that's basically saying he won't go all the way there with me. You know how some guys say, I'll die in the ring? That guy's, he just wasn't willing to die in the ring. Or I had a harder upbringing. Like, you're not cut. You hear it in, you know, MCs and hip-hop say it a lot. You're not cut from the same cloth. You cannot go where you can't go where I've been, and you can't go where I'm willing to go. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like that. And when you say something like that to somebody, you're basically notching them down a level in their heart and everything. Like, when you say you're not cut from the same cloth as me, it's a totally different meaning. And he also blends in legacy, and it's like, dude, legacy is not your comments on social media, unless you're out there just crazy with your comments about all sorts of stuff, you know, like, it'd have to be some wild shit you were talking about to ruin your legacy on social media, right? I'm not saying it's not possible, but he's talking about legacy, and it's like, his legacy, he's just, dude, I'm going to play you some audio. Let me play you some audio. We'll react to it, then we'll move on, okay? Listen to this shit, though, okay? It's crazy.
Are you surprised at how good Ruiz's skill set was?
He ain't that skillful. He's a good fighter.
He beat you?
Yeah, by a lucky punch. By a punch that was sent by the gods.
All right, so I hit that again. I'm going to play another one. I forgot I played the wrong one. I totally played the wrong.
I guess the likes of Lennox Lewis came back from massive losses.
Lennox is a clown. I don't respect Lennox.
He created legacy, though.
So am I.
That's what I was about to say. Is this all part of the legacy? Are you aware of how
nothing
big the legacy
compared
is?
To what Lennox is doing? Nothing. Me and Lennox aren't the same. My legacy is to sit back and enjoy the younger generation coming up and not to really be involved. Just appreciate what it takes to get there. Lennox is like that. Me and Lennox are cut from a different cloth.
I guess.
Now listen to it again.
The likes of Lennox Lewis came back from massive losses.
Lennox is a clown. I don't respect Lennox.
Created legacy, though.
So am I.
That's what I was about to say. Is this all part of the legacy? Are you
it's
aware
nothing,
of how
nothing
big the
compared
is?
To what Lennox is doing? Nothing. Me and Lennox aren't the same. My legacy is to sit back and enjoy the younger generation coming up. And not just appreciate what it takes to get there. Lennox isn't like that. Me and Lennox are cut from a different cloth.
You see that? We're cut from a different cloth. has nothing to do with you talking about, you know, it has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it, dude. It literally has nothing to do with it. This legacy is, that's in the fucking ring, Anthony. And I'm just messing with his name, UK fans. I love how you guys talk, so don't get me wrong on this one. But come on, dog. Like, that's your legacy? My legacy, and then you can hear him. It's just knee-jerk response, like he's catching feelings. Like, my legacy, just imagine a little kid saying that. My legacy is sitting back and just appreciating. Well, dude, if you're in a broadcasting situation, that's your fucking job, is to say something. You know what I mean? So, and he could have went in even harder, and he chose not to. He chose not to. So, to me, it's like, come on, dog. Like, are you serious? Like, and then he said, you hear, so he's talking about legacy. My legacy is just to sit back and watch these fighters. Well, that's fucking cool, dude. When you retire, if you're just going to sit ringside or sit at home and just enjoy the sport, more power to you. But that doesn't have shit to do with your legacy, dude. Nothing. And then the cut from the same cloth. See, it's basically like he heard that in a movie and he's trying to sound fucking cool and it turned out corny. And that's what a lot of this stuff is turning out, cheesy and corny and just butt hurt. Have you ever heard that saying, butthurt? The dude is butthurt. Like, calm down. Pause. I'll throw a pause in there just for the hell of it. But he's catching feelings, and it's like, dude. And then that shit he said, that it was a lucky punch thrown from the god, you know, from the gods. A lucky punch. Dude, he did hit you with a good shot, and then he followed up on it. And you were pretty hurt, but you got up. Then he followed up on it, and you were really hurt. They could have maybe stopped the fight near the end of the third round, though, couldn't they? They really could have. Because they didn't do that New York City, you know, go to the left, go to the right, do the fucking shuffle. You know, they weren't doing any kind of line dancing with you and letting you walk around. You didn't even come forward. You could have been stopped right there, but that's neither here nor there. My point is, dude, it wasn't a lucky punch. You got knocked down a bunch of times. You didn't even get knocked out that way. You got TKO'd. So the lucky punch is like, dude, I hope you're not going in with that mentality. And then I just think he's starting to crumble and crack. And if someone thinks, I've heard some AJ apologists, some fanboys say, dude, he's just going heel. He's just going heel. Well, why don't you just go full heel then? Because when you're heel, you're supposed to come off as tough and outrageous and all this stuff. And although some of the stuff he's saying is outrageous, it's not heel. He's actually making himself look horrible and not like overly confident on the thing. Whereas the heel makes himself look way over the con. He doesn't stop talking. And he usually has some really funny one-liners to heel. That's the heel's job. So I don't know what to tell you. Lennox Lewis last tweet said, you know what? You want me and the young boy to go at it, I'm going to stop it here, yada, yada, yada. It is what it is. It's just, damn, Anthony, you better get your mind right, dude. You better get your mind right. And like I said, until people lose, you never know who's a poor sport until they lose or until they get criticism or whatever. When it's all good and dandy and you're the fucking nice guy and you're the Mr. Sponsorship and all that shit, you're Mr. All-American or All-UK, I guess you could say. That's fine and dandy, and everything's great. But as soon as you get some criticism, as soon as you take a loss, he was real humble in defeat after the fight, actually overly humble, it seemed. But now it's like, oh, okay. And when you hear some interviews of him walking himself through the fight, it's going to be an interesting rematch. Let's put it that way. It's going to be a fucking interesting rematch. Anyway, two more items, then I'm getting the hell out of here, guys. Gervonta Davis and Tevin Farmer are at it again, folks. Will they get this fight together? Who knows? Who knows? So it sounds like there's two offers out there. Both of them are career high day paydays. career-high paydays for each fighter. Now, the more money is the reported anyway, $5 million from DAZN, Eddie Hearn, whatever, giving that to Gervonta Davis to fight on DAZN, which he should probably fucking take. I'll just say it straight up. Because I favor him against Farmer. Why not? Now, Tevin Farmer, who says he wants this fight so much, also, we can't forget about this, guys. He also got a career-high payday of $2 million. He's been making, what, $700,000, $750,000, I think, is his contract called for with DAZN, his last three fights. $2 million to fight, I believe, on Showtime to fight there. He should take the money because that's his career money. Now, I don't know what he'd be getting in the Davis fight. I'm assuming he'd be getting more than $750,000. But if Farmer wants to fight so bad, and he's never gotten $2 million, then he should take it. Now, I started this thing by saying Gervonta Davis, if they're really offering him, because they first offered him $5 million with three fights attached. Then it sounds like they came back with a one-off, and that was an important difference that I was talking about after that Hooker-Ramirez fight, when Ramirez at Top Rank agreed to take Ramirez off ESPN, take him to DAZN, they showed him the money. Well, $5 million straight up, no ties, no options, no nothing, just one fight, a complete one-off. $5 million, Gervonta Davis should take that money. One fight, get it done. Now, I understand both sides don't want to give. Obviously, the bigger name side never wants to give in this situation. Gervonta is a fighter that's being well-known. He's a young dude, and he has potential to be a big, big star. So I understand why Showtime can barely get fights, let alone, have them go by the wayside. But either way, if the PBC and Showtime and they're in Al, whatever, if their in Floyd, if their idea is to put this fight, Gervonta Davis and Tevin Farmer, on pay-per-view, it's a huge reach and it's a mistake, and it's actually shrinking Davis at this point. If you're going to do a pay-per-view, you might as well go get him paid on DAZN, because more people are going to pay $20 than new fans are going to pay $20 rather than $75. That's a bad, should I say it again, bad pay-per-view fight. You're shrinking Gervonta Davis, and he's already short. No, just kidding. He kicked my ass one punch, no problem. So that's my take on that. But don't let all the anti-PBC people out there, and I got into it with several people this week on Twitter, and that's why I'm glad I'm going on vacation. No, I'm just kidding. One of the dudes had an image on his Twitter handle of Heyman with demon eyes and horns coming out, so you know who the hell I was talking to. But some other dude I was talking to in this conversation, or I don't even know if you say talking to him, this dude followed me. I followed him back. He was actually direct messaging me about calling into the show and how he's been guests on other shows and this, that, and the third. And, hey, man, can't wait to listen to your podcast. Then I say something about, hey, both of them were offered career highs. So if I think Gervonta should take it, I also think Farmer should take it. That was too much. I was all of a sudden getting paid by the PBC. And, it was just, oh, my God, this guy. And supposedly this guy's got a podcast, even though this dude was direct messaging me that he wants to come on my podcast. So, go figure. But yeah, Gervonta, take the fucking money. Farmer, take the money. Who will budge first? I really don't know, man. I do know who is a free agent. Both are free agents. And I do know that, now he is a complete free agent, though. As far as that three-fight deal is up now, as far as Tevin Farmer on DAZN with Eddie Hearn and all that co-promotion with DiBella and Hearn. Now, does he have an option? That I do not know. I do not know about that. Now, Timothy Bradley, just to close the show, Timothy Bradley last week was saying all sorts of shit. He's protecting his what was that? I had some really weird reverb in there. Huh. Okay, that was weird. I heard my voice, but Oh, that was really weird. It was like, I don't know. I don't know if you guys are hearing that. There might be a ghost in here. Anyway, Bradley was letting, you know, certain, you know, his side off of the street, the top ranked side, the ESPN side. He was letting, you know, Oscar Valdez and, you know, Tyson Fury off the hook. But then he's going at Spence, and he's always favored Crawford, and that's cool. And he thinks Crawford's the number one fighter. I think it's up for debate. I don't say Spence or Crawford. I got to see the fucking fight in the ring to decide who's the number one guy. I'm not just going to take sides. You know what I mean? Because that's just how it's going. Styles make fights. You can make an argument for both guys. You know, Crawford was unified, but who do you really unify with? Like big, like really top level fighters, if we're being honest, at 140, you know, 135, his biggest win was Gamboa. Gamboa stunned him. Like, you know, it is what it is. He knocked him out, but that was a good ass fight. Like, if they need to get it done in the ring. And I remember there's videos out there. If you go easily search him, but I remember him saying, I see what Mikey sees in the lead up to Spence and Garcia. I see what Mikey sees. I saw flaws in Peterson fight. I saw flaws in the Kell Brook fight. Like, he basically is saying, I see what these guys are saying. He's not all that in a sense. And it seems like the side of the street stuff is starting to get weird, because he was saying, hey, you know, if Wilder and Fury can do a split, you know, that means they're working together. Wilder and Fury rematch is ESPN and PBC. Okay, cool. So that's one big, big fight that they've made in that time. Their last big fight was in 2015. They're not working together, especially at the high levels. Because if you're just going to say working together, then you can name a plethora of, you know, PBC guys on that second and third tier that have got Collazo, actually. We just mentioned him. Several guys, Felix Diaz, several guys, John Molina, several guys, Danny Jacobs for Golovkin, several guys, Amir Khan for Canelo, several guys have gone over to the other side that were Heyman dudes. They're just not the top guys for obvious reasons, you know, and that's what was so cool that they went with the Ramirez to DAZN, and I gave them all the credit, and that's great. It's phenomenal. But his point is, because after the Bradley fight with Pacquiao, the third one, the WBC did call for Timothy Bradley and Spence to fight. It was like, hey, fight, and then you'll get a big fight. And I can understand why Bradley didn't take that fight at that time. He's just never fought since. It's no big deal. You know, I don't say anything, but he says, because Spence said, oh, so I'm ducking Crawford, but I guess then what? You ducked me because, you know, he didn't take that fight or whatever. And to truth be told, you know, he was waiting for Kell Brook as well. Spence was at that time. So it is what it is. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. But he says we weren't working together. The top rank in PBC weren't working together. Well, they're still not working together. And the Wilder Fury, here's why Wilder and Fury is happening. First of all, Wilder and Fury 1 already happened. And they had a rematch negotiated for last May 18th, and it was a 50-50 split. Contracts drawn up, sent. Fury didn't sign his. It's his own prerogative to go to ESPN. Good for you. So when you're that far in it, you both come on the same page saying, hey, we can do a 50-50 fight. It's a lot easier to do a split network in a fight like that when it's already been negotiated like that. It's actually, now the PBC side only has to put up, you know, the money for Wilder and vice versa for that side. So it's actually lower risk for them. Now it's lower, you know, back end, but you never know. They were both going to get, I think it was $35 million. They were split 17 and a half or 18 million and a half, something like that. So it's a lot easier to get a fight together when you've already fucking negotiated, Tim. Like, come on, dude, let's be honest. And also on the ESPN side, they can't keep losing money with Fury, paying them $10 or $11 or $12 million for these fights. So, you know, if they really want, you know, I talked about how Dan Raphael and others said, and Kriegel on the broadcast 2 weeks ago said, you know, I'm just trying to figure out why Wilder and Fury rematch isn't happening in the fall. Well, we're still trying to figure out why that rematch didn't happen in May. So let's put all the facts on the table, not just some of them. And it goes along with the broadcasting stuff nowadays. It's been the last chunk of years, it's just gone downhill. It really has on all platforms. No one's safe on that one. But Showtime's really got the best. They do the least of that, but still. Oh, there it is again. Did you guys hear that? Did you guys hear that little echo? But anyway, this is actually Sunday Puncher put basically sourcing AB boxing news. They put a clip together that's just nicely put in how Timothy Bradley is saying one thing, but then something else comes out of his mouth. It's kind of funny. And I love me some Timothy Bradley in the ring. I always liked the guy, you know, but he's working now for ESPN, and that's coming through, period. Point blank, that's just what it is.
When the hell have we been doing business, or anybody from Top Rank been doing business without him? You know what I'm saying? So, bruh, say whatever you want to say. Duck you and retire because I want to pay you, bruh. You know what I'm saying? It's all about being
there. Even the other side of the street or the
bruh, I don't listen, it's there. It's there because when I was coming up, that was the problem. I couldn't fight anybody from PBC. You know what I'm saying? We didn't do business with PBC. One, and two, the WBC didn't order it, but the fight wasn't gonna be made because we didn't do business with them. You know what I'm saying? The fight wasn't gonna be made. So why would I even go down that alley when I got Manny Pacquiao right in front of me?
And when he says, why would I go down that alley? I don't think he means it right. When I got Manny right in front of me, because what Spence was talking about, he had already fought Manny for the third time, so there was not going to be another Manny fight, but I think he was talking about just overall, you know what I mean? I think that's what he was really talking about, just overall. That's why I signed with them, and he decided to go that route, and it was a good route, but the thing is, instead of, you know, being able to fight a Thurman or a Spence or even a Porter, some of these guys, he chose the bigger money, and that was smart. That was really smart. He got a lot of money off the deal. I remember he got a huge guarantee. It was like $5 million. He got on there and fought. Who the fuck did he fight? Was it Diaz? Who did he fight right away that they just put on the card and then put him in for the first fight with Pacquiao? It was a smart move by Bradley. It's also a smart move for Spence to try to fight Pacquiao before Crawford because he's the bigger name. It's more money. And honestly, an undisputed fight means a lot more to that Crawford fight. You can sell it even that much more. And then you truly have an undisputed with probably the best two fighters, right? That's what it seems like. So we'd actually get it. And fanboys can sit there and cream your pants over this stuff. But, yeah, dude, it's like they're still not working on either side of the street. But to bring up Wilder and Fury and say, see, they can do it all. Well, okay, but so when are they going to do the Spence Crawford? Are they going to do it a month later? Like, you still got to build to that then if you're going to do a split thing, you know? So to compare Wilder and Fury, who have already fought in the ring, and they've already negotiated, basically, or they had already negotiated a rematch, boy, that takes a lot of the legwork out of it. Anyway, guys, enjoy the week. I know I will. I'll be tipping a couple back, putting stuff in the air, trying to be in and around water as much as possible. Peace out. Like I said, enjoy the fights this weekend, a variety of them. VR them because there's like four cards. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the whole bag, and when you come to a champion, you're like, you know what, I made it. I'm going to show you it's this. So I'm going to give every dollar worth of